This week, we're going to see what it means to praise God. The psalmist David is going to teach us how to grow in our relationship with God, how to praise him when he has helped us. Not just for who he is, Psalm 33, but also for what he has done, Psalm 34. So please take up the handouts on your tables and keep your Bibles open on page 556 for Psalm 34. You'll see from the outline that we'll spend our time thinking about how to respond to God when he has helped us, and then what certainty in God's help will look like as we go on walking with him. Psalm 34 is far more than a bunch of flowers and a thank you card, but nevertheless, it is David's response to God when he has helped him. Now, I'm not just inferring that from the text. David himself gives us the background to this story. Psalm 34, like many other psalms, is introduced for us with a preface. So look down to Psalm 34 with me. The bold text, "Taste and see that the Lord is good," that was added by the publishers of this version of the Bible. It's not original. You can ignore it. But the caps text, the block of text below that, is original. It is scripture, and so pay attention. Of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. The psalmist wants us to know this information before we read the psalm. And if you use a little column in the middle, you can find out that it's referring to 1 Samuel 21. So let's turn together to 1 Samuel 21 on page 294. 294. So that's 1 Samuel 21 on page 294. By this point in the story, David has been anointed king, but he has not yet taken up the throne. King Saul has become jealous of David and now wants to kill him. David has fled, and he's basically alone. And up until yesterday in the story, he was starving and had no weapons. I'll pick up the story in verse 10. So 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10. "And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath, a.k.a. Abimelech. And the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to the servants, 'Behold, ye see this man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you've brought this fellow to behave like a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?' David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam." So David, at this point, he isn't yet king, but he's been actively persecuted and chased for being God's chosen person. He's alone, afraid, terrified for his life. And he hatches this insane plan, be insane, and he escapes. Well, now that we've got the context in our minds, let's look at the psalm around our tables. We'll have just 5 minutes for this, the first set of questions, so you'll have to work fast, and I'll call together in about 5 minutes' time. It's surprising, isn't it, that God isn't mentioned in 1 Samuel 21. At face value, David looks like a scared man acting in fear. It's very earthy. You know, he's drooling, making marks on the door. Yet Psalm 34 explains what David was, how he really responded to this genuinely terrifying experience. He's saying what was going on in the background. David wants his listeners to realize that certainly God is the one who has helped him. David isn't taking credit for this insane plan. Rather, he's recognizing that God has delivered him from all his fears, verse 4. And in giving thanks to God, he's wanting others to know about it. It's more like the Metro's good deed feed than a thank you note. It's public, not private. So our first subpoint, certainly God has helped us, so praise him. Praise him. David is calling together his friends and saying, come praise God with me. Express thankfulness to God. Let's magnify him. Make his name as big as it should be. Well, what does this praise look like? Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise is a spoken activity. David says, guys, let me tell you what God has done to help me. Or verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Praise is a corporate activity. David says, friends, praise God with me. Or verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Praise is a comprehensive activity. David here has been both really specific, God helped me in this circumstance, but then expands it to everything, to all his troubles. So praise is spoken, it's corporate, and it is comprehensive. David could have boasted, you know, I came up with this great plan, I pulled out my acting GCSE, and I nailed it. But instead, my boast is in the Lord. David could have quietly thanked God, yet praise is in his mouth. David could have leveraged his position as God's anointed king, but instead he recognizes his poverty. He's just acting like a normal believer. A few weeks ago while I was preparing, I met some old friends that used to be part of the church family here. A few years ago, their three-year-old daughter was diagnosed with leukemia. What followed were several months, if not years, of difficult and painful medical interventions. But the week before we met them, they had just been given the all clear. Speaking to them, praise was on their lips. They were giving God the credit, left, right, and center, for helping them. God provided the best doctor. In God's timing, our company healthcare kicked in the week before we diagnosed. In God's, at the lowest point, God intervened. God sustained us all. They were all very earthy things. Things you could just say, well, it was just a doctor happened to be there. But they were giving God the praise for them. And as I listened, I found myself wanting to join in the praise. Certainly God has helped us, so let's praise him. We can praise God for when he's helped us personally, but also, like here in Psalm 34, when he's helped someone else. We might not have a big event where God has helped, but don't forget those daily blessings. You know, every breath, everything that we own, it's all a gift from God. And chiefly, God has helped us by sending his own son, Jesus Christ. By sending Jesus, we now have eternal life. We've been forgiven, adopted into his family, and we now have his spirit living within us. Certainly God has helped us, so let's praise him. But David isn't content to leave it there. David uses his own experience, his own response and relationship with God to encourage others to trust God. So our second subpoint, certainly God has helped us, trust him. Look down to verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. It's a fridge magnet classic. The ESV chose it as their extra heading that they added at the start of the psalm. But what does it actually mean? You know, I normally cycle around London, but every time I go on the tube, it seems that there are the same advertisements. Takeaway food, travel insurance, and contact lenses. Now, each of them are appealing to our senses. They're saying, imagine what this tastes like. Or look how wonderful this beach is or this pristine ski slope. And if you can't see, order lenses for next day delivery. In the same way, David is appealing to our senses. He's calling his listeners to come and experience the goodness of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God has wonderfully helped David, so he calls us to trust God. And we can genuinely hold out that offer to anyone and everyone. Come and see how wonderful Jesus is. If you're here just looking in on the Christian faith, well, come and see how good God is. Talk to people around you and find out how much he has helped them. But just a word of caution. Some people push this too far and start offering blessings and miracles to people as some sort of an evangelistic strategy. We must remember the context. David is on the run for his life from Saul. He's terrified by King Achish, again fearing his life. He's starving, alone, and afraid. This is not the prosperity gospel, promising health and wealth in this world now, according to Psalm 34. Rather, this is a genuine call to trust God who is good. We don't need personal miracles to believe that God helps. Seeing how God has helped David is reason enough to trust him. We rarely think about money as a whole church family together, but I hope those times when we do, when Jeremy Anderson comes and gives his financial updates, I hope there are times for you to praise God. Certainly God has helped us. But they should also be opportunities for us to grow in our relationship with God as we learn to trust him. Certainly God has helped us. Let's trust him together. Now, I've summarized verses 8 to 10 as trust God, but actually David uses far more descriptive and active words. So let's spend more time around our tables looking at these verses, and we'll have 10 minutes for this. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in the Lord. Refuge. One of the great excitements about thinking about the Bible in everyday life is you start seeing connections all over the place. On one of those mindless motorway journeys, my eye was drawn to the emergency lay-bys, refuge areas. A place of safety to which you can flee in time of emergency. Refuge. A wonderful picture of seeking safety in the Lord. But I've never used a lay-by on the M1. I'm very, very thankful that they're there, but in reality, they make no difference to my daily life. So is it like that with God? There when we really, really need him, but day-to-day generally makes no difference? Well, the second half of the psalm, David wants us to be certain that God will help us as he sets the expectations for normal Christian life. And I think it's here that David shows us why taking refuge in the Lord is a daily task. David starts by calling us into the classroom. So have a look at verse 11. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The whole psalm is actually an acrostic poem. So each verse starts with a sequential letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So David wants this lesson to be memorable. It is ABC of fearing the Lord. Verse 12 is a rhetorical question. Answer, everyone deserves a long and happy life. And so verse 13 and 14 are a call for people to fear the Lord. So verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. He could have just as easily had said, praise God, don't speak evil. Trust God, do the good he deserves, he requires. Those who fear the Lord, David goes on to call righteous. But a word of caution, I hope you realize that our basis for righteousness is not the praise and trust, therefore righteous. The rest of the Psalms prove that we can't do anything to save ourselves. We need the righteous one, Jesus to make us righteous. Our righteousness comes only from him. By his death in our place, Jesus took our unrighteousness and gave us his righteousness. The Apostle Peter reminds us of this in 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Now, in any normal setting, that might just sound like a random proof text from the New Testament. Well done, Jason, you got the New Testament in there. But I hope you'll let me away with it tonight, because immediately before that verse, Peter quotes from the verses we're looking at tonight, Psalm 34. He quotes five full verses before he says the righteous for the unrighteous. So in Peter's mind, the two are linked. Our righteousness through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus will be seen in our praise and our trust of God. It's all about Jesus, but following him will be shown in our speech and in our actions. This psalm actually undergirds much of the New Testament understanding of the normal Christian life. So if you'll forgive my highly contrived headings, let's look at David's ABC of normal Christian life. First, look at the awesome promises of God. The awesome promises of God, verse 15 to 18. And I only have time to dangle these promises in front of us this evening, so I do hope that you'll go home and meditate on them and think about them further. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. The all-powerful creator of the universe says, I'm looking out for you. God is watching over us. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Almighty is not far off and aloof. He's close at hand when your heart aches. Do you realize how blessed you are? And now that Jesus has come, the promises of God have literally been blown out of this world. David is saying, look at the awesome promises of God, and therefore be certain that God will help us. Secondly, believers afflicted. Look at verse 19 with me. If it wasn't written like this, I wouldn't make it up. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, why is that? Let's think for a moment about David's situation. He's been the anointed king. He's God's man for the job. And so you'd expect things to be plain sailing from here on in. David has trusted God and feared him. And as a direct result, he's on the run from King Saul. God has helped David abundantly and delivered him from danger, most famously in the battle with Goliath. And that prompted people singing praise to God about his deliverance for David. And it was that very song which King Achish heard which put David's life at risk. So David's praise of God and his trust of God are the very things which have resulted in this case of affliction. And we find that as righteous people, as regular believers, keep praising God, keep speaking of him, and keep trusting God, fearing him above all, affliction arises. We've seen it here in the city and at the RML mission, that as people put on dialogue events, all of a sudden in their offices, they're sidelined. They're mocked. HR withdraw funding for the Christian group. David is putting this here to bolster our confidence in the God who will help us. When affliction comes, it's not because God has stopped helping us, but it is then that God is proven to be our refuge. And once again, it is tied with a promise of God. Look at verse 19 again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. This is why taking refuge in God is a daily task. As we praise God verbally, publicly, and comprehensively, as we trust him and fear him above all, well, affliction will arise. We'll need to take refuge in him, which will result in more praise and more trust and more affliction. So be certain that God will help us. If you want to know more about what that actually looks like in practice, go home and read 1 Peter. That's actually Peter's almost sermon on Psalm 34. And I've put a link on the handout for yesterday's lunchtime talk, which covered that section, which you might want to listen to as well. And then finally, look forward to our certain future. David concludes in verse 21 and 22. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. No condemnation. David is absolutely certain that God will ultimately deliver those who take refuge in him. How much more certain can we be because of Jesus? There's a number who are studying Romans 8 this summer, and you'll recall the words, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." God will certainly help us. There's absolutely no doubt about it. So Psalm 34 is David's call for us to thank God for all that he has done, to praise him. Certainly God has helped us, so praise him and trust him. And as we go on as Christians, be certain that God will help us. We'll turn around our tables now for another 10 minutes. And then just before we finish, I will come up and interrupt us again to remind us to turn to prayer. And when praying, please keep going to the end. There's so much to give thanks to God for. And if you run out of things, maybe just take some of those verses and memorize them quietly.